Yeah, that Wax Pack book is awesome. I just started it, though. I'm only on Steve Yeager.
Chapter
second
two,
chapter.
Los Angeles.
Yeah, exactly.
So you haven't gotten to Templeton.
I have not gotten to Templeton. I'm looking forward to it, though.
Hey, isn't your birthday coming up?
It is, yeah. Cinco de Mayo, May 5th, I turned 40 years old.
Wow. So 4-0 on the 5-5.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That almost could be a traffic report. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the best podcast in baseball, brought to you by Closets by Design. I'm St. Louis Post-Dispatch baseball writer Derek Gould. That is the voice of St. Louis Post-Dispatch sports columnist Benjamin Hockman. We are talking through a socially acceptable distance of our laptops. Where do I find you today?
At my wife's makeup desk in our bedroom.
Very nice. I am at the roll top desk of the Treehouse Studios. So
I've been there. I love that place.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's a good view of the nice outside. Lovely weather we're having. Great weather for baseball, and yet no baseball to be played, but baseball to be discussed, because this past week, and that's one of the reasons why we're recording this podcast so soon after the most recent episode, Cardinals catcher Yadier Molina, in talking with Marley Rivera, a reporter from ESPN, who has a great rapport with a lot of players, reached out to him, got him on the phone, and Molina said that, you know, this time away from baseball, this stoppage, this indefinite delay of the season has caused him to rethink some of the statements he made in January, and that he's open to what caught everybody's ear, free agency. What was your kind of initial read on the comments he made, Benjamin?
It was like fourfold, if that's possible. I mean, just a lot of thoughts came simultaneously. One is just the idea of hearing, like you said, Yadier Molina even utter those two words that begin with F and A, is, you know, sends shockwaves through St. Louis, Missouri. I got a text from someone who said, how did she put it? I don't have the bandwidth to handle this news right now during all this other stuff, as a diehard Cardinal fan. There's the idea of like, okay, is this the time and place to be having this conversation? And reading your reporting in today's paper, it appears that they literally cannot negotiate with Yadier right now. So
yeah, they can't do anything. Rosters are frozen, and here we are.
Yeah. So so he kind of goes into the media and makes kind of a interesting statement, but about negotiations. But the team can't really do anything about it. Literally that day or the next day. And then, I get this image pops in my head of like Yadier as a New York Met or as a what are they called now? The Los Angeles Angels, as a Los Angeles Angel, and just it's a weird image in my head. And yeah, and then you think about the future. I mean, who is the Cardinals catcher, starting opening day catcher, or maybe not opening day because if he's on the team, it would probably be Yadi, but like May 1st catcher in 2021. 2022, right. Et cetera.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's an interesting thing. I mean, clearly, I thought the comments were candid. You know, I don't think that I think he was contacted by a reporter and he said, yeah, you know, I've been thinking a lot about this. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think it came down to me that, or for my interpretation was that through this time, he's thought, okay, I want to play two more years. I'm missing baseball right now. I feel healthy. I feel like a year is being removed from me. I want to play 2 years of baseball. I would prefer that to be with the Cardinals, but I will prioritize two more years of baseball over two more years with the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Because before he had said, if it's not with the Cardinals, I'll quote unquote go home, meaning retire. But I think what this has done, and in texting with him and talking to him, you know, he says his hope hasn't changed. His preference hasn't changed. But maybe in some ways, and he didn't use this word, but maybe in some ways his priorities have changed. And so he is prioritizing playing two more years over playing two more years with the Cardinals. And I think that's interesting. I mean, you know, it speaks to maybe a lot of the thought process that'll change for players as they're confronted with this stoppage and the fallout from it is, you know, if it's baseball in isolation, baseball in a bubble, do players who have made a considerable amount of money, salary, not do that because they don't want the months away from their family and they're toward the end of their career anyway. What kind of decisions do they make? What kind of decisions does like an Adam Wainwright make, both on that regard, but also, you know, does he want to come back for one more year because he had this one stripped away from him? You know, and then also like the notion of what decisions teams have to make. I think that's a reality. I mean, you know, in the past week, the Cardinals have had ticket refunds for the first 29 home games. That's roughly a third of the season, right? 1.2-ish plans for, you know, as far as estimated tickets sold. And they could be offering refunds to them. Not all of them. Some are bought by businesses and the businesses won't want the refunds. But, you know, a lot of fans probably will at this time. And that, you know, comes off the books at a time when there's zero revenue or minimal revenue streaming in and the Cardinals don't know, you know, what's next. So it's very clear that for a team based around ticket sales that ties its payroll to ticket sales, and this has been true for a long time, that the payroll is going to change for 2021. The entire financial scheme of the game is going to change, right?
Yeah. And across, down Clark in downtown St. Louis, the Blues are dealing with the same thing because the captain of their Stanley Cup team, Alex Pietrangelo, is going to be a free agent. And before all this happened, he was set to make $9, $10 million a year. And now, because, like you said, the tickets and the revenue, who knows how much a top free agent will actually get in the new market. Sports have been turned upside down. And now we've got Yadier Molina, a iconic St. Louis athlete, kind of caught up in it. And the question is, how does that change his career trajectory? And you made a lot of great points in all the stuff you brought up. One thing I guess I wanted to touch on was just like for Yadier, like if he's saying he wants to just play because he loves baseball and, you know, I can't put the glove on the shelf, got to keep playing into the following years. And even if it's not with St. Louis, I'll just do it. But what does that mean? What does that look like? Because will a contending team pay for him to be their starting catcher at age 39 right. The following year at turning age 40? And if it's not that, does that mean he goes to the Marlins just to get 500 at bats, but lose a bunch of games, but he still gets to play this beautiful baseball game? A lot to talk about with that.
Yeah, there are some like rules. So we should probably introduce those first and foremost, sure. Right? Okay. So like you mentioned, the rosters are frozen right now. That's been the approach of the Cardinals and that's now, you know, across baseball. So there really can't be negotiations on an extension. There's another element here is that, you know, Yadier Molina makes $20 million this year. He's in the final year of a 3-year, $60 million extension that he signed back in April 2017. There are policies, bylaws, rules, whatever you want to call them, in the collective bargaining agreement that limit the kind of pay cut he can take from his current team. Mm-hmm. We ran into this with with Adam Wainwright, you might recall, mm-hmm. a few years ago, where he agreed to a deal and it wasn't announced. It wasn't even finalized. And it went by for a month and a half. And during that time, we explained why. But he had to become a free agent first so that he could sign a deal that was significantly below his previous year's salary.
Yeah.
So he had to go through the paperwork of becoming a free agent and hitting the open mark so that he could take a pay cut to return to the Cardinals, which he had already agreed upon. You know, he famously wrote it on the back of a napkin and sort of came up with the structure and everything like that. But that deal couldn't be finalized until he technically became a free agent and thus was no longer governed by the rules of the kind of pay cut he could take. I bring all that up because Molina may, at some point in time, technically become a free agent. Mm-hmm. And when games resume, it is possible that an extension won't be done during this season, right? Because there's multiple reasons. The Cardinals don't know what their payroll will be like. They don't know what their revenue will be like, all those things. But also just because of the rules of the kind of pay cut he'd have to take, or he may have to take, or the kind of discussions that they have to take, it may take him becoming a free agent.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's definitely a good point.
It's not like a word that should scare people.
Gotcha. Yeah. But I mean, can't we also say that maybe it means playing for another team?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I
Oh,
think
yeah.
that was the upshot. I just wanted to introduce some rules into it. So,
Gotcha.
like,
Yeah,
before
yeah.
when he becomes a free agent and he hasn't signed with the Cardinals, but we are reporting that he has an agreement in place. This is why. It's not because of friction or acrimony or anything like that. It's just because there are some rules governing this, and they recently
Yeah.
went through this with Adam Wainwright. But I think, the real gist, the real thrust of what he said was, I want to play 2 more years. What uniform that is, I would prefer it to be the Cardinals, but I'm open to it being another uniform. I don't, I maybe I'm naive in this. I don't think a lot of people rush to connect the dots that that would mean a reunion with Pujols and the Angels. I'm not so sure. I would imagine that Molina will make decisions based on certainly his comfort. He's got family ties to the Angels, of course. That would sing out more than, say, the Pujols thing. But also, like, he's going to scan around and take a look at who's got a chance to win and who's got the pitching staff to win, and he'll go that route.
But then it comes down to playing time for him and who the other catchers are on these staffs, and it's just kind of like finding, it's weird talking about, but like it would be like the right fit for him where he can be on a contending team, still get enough innings as catcher that he's satisfied, and so those would be like the two things. How many
Great
teams
point.
are like that in 2021?
Yeah, not too many. And considering that very few catchers of his age have started more than 100 games, teams are going to take that into account.
You had some good stuff about like the history of players at that age. Who was it? Bob Boone was one of the
Yeah.
few exceptions.
And Pudge Rodriguez. Yeah, but Bob Boone was
Yeah.
one of the few exceptions of doing it consistently. Or actually, forget consistently, twice. At that age,
Yeah.
it just doesn't happen. Benjamin,
Right.
I do want to get your thoughts on some of the proposals that are being kicked around as far as the return of baseball. But first, I want to tell people about our sponsor, Closets by Design. Imagine your home totally organized. Closet by Design specializes in custom closets, pantries, laundry rooms, garages, and more. Now get 40% plus an additional 15% off. Closets by Design, 314-733-9855. That's Closets by Design, 314-733-9855. Closet by Design, the official sponsor of the best podcast in baseball. Benjamin, how hungry for baseball are you? Are you hungry for it by any means necessary, or do you want some nutritious value to your baseball?
That's a great way of putting it. Naturally, I'm hungry for action. I'm hungry for baseball. I'm hungry for competition. I'm hungry for us to have things to analyze, and of course, just the beauty of the 6-4-3. I miss it, things like that. Of course, though, I mean, so many thoughts come to mind with baseball in 2020 and what it will look like. And you're right. There'll never be a season like it. Assuming they play, there'll never be a season like it again. And just how similar will it be to the baseball, to the strategy that we to the action that we saw in previous years?
Yeah, I don't know. Do any of these proposals being kicked around like scratch that itch for you?
I think once they start playing, you'd have to assume that they're going to play hard and they're going to be passionate. And I mean, I talked to a Cardinal Brebbia the other day. He's like, I played in the Florida State League. There was no one in the stands, but it was the hugest game of my life because it was the current game in my life. And and so I think that people will take it seriously, obviously, but there's just so many what ifs, right?
Of all the proposals though that have been kicked around, and there are many of them because that's Major League Baseball doing its job. It's got to be ready to go when the CDC and the government and society and everything says, please be ready to go. They got to move on it. Of all the things that have been kind of discussed and kicked around and mentioned in media, is there one that kind of satisfies your sweet tooth for competition, Benjamin?
I look at it like this, maybe a silly analogy, but you remember in the movie Hoosiers where they walk into that enormous dome, and then the coach goes up and measures the basket, and he says it's 10 feet. Same height as our little rinky-dink gym back at Hickory. The idea of, like, still the same court, still the same baseball field. I think as long as they're playing, we're still going to make me happy. Still going to make the fans happy that there's baseball going on. I think your question, though, is like, okay, who are the opponents? Is it National League Central, or is it teams that are near St. Louis, if you will, from the American League, White Sox and Royals and stuff. But I guess what I'm rambling about, and I apologize to the listeners, is just the idea, of course, of it would be great to have some action. And it doesn't necessarily matter what the names are on the other uniforms.
Well, you turn to Hoosiers. I'll turn to another movie from our youth and draw on an equally maybe unrelated metaphor. But, you know, in Batman, right, when Michael Keaton is visiting, Kim Basinger? Basinger? Vicki Vale. Vicki Vale's her character. Bruce Wayne is visiting Vicki Vale. And the Joker comes into her apartment and he says, "You want to get nuts? Let's get nuts." So do you want to get nuts with baseball? Let's get nuts, right?
Let's get nuts.
Yeah. Did I do that
let's
one
get
right?
Nuts with baseball.
Yep. Do you want to?
Oh, do I? Oh, you're asking me if I want to get nuts? Let's get nuts. Yeah. Let's do it.
That was not a rhetorical question.
Oh yeah. I'm with you. Let's get nuts. I mean, no, any way you slice it, we're going to look back at this season as a unique season. And it'll always be compared differently, I presume. So we can come up with a bunch of fun, creative angles and all that, but really, sadly and soberingly, it's just going to come down to how do you make sure none of these guys get coronavirus?
Right. Testing is paramount. You know, in talking with John Mozeliak the other day, I thought it was very interesting. You know, he was like, look, there's a reason why all these ideas are kicking around. It's because we have to have a lot of ideas. We're trying to come up with a solution, and we don't know when a start date will be. But he said, if you do all these ideas, if you discuss them, and if you discuss some of them publicly, you can start poking holes in them. You can start lining up what the hurdles are to get it done. So you look at, say, the baseball in a bubble plan. Well, one of the big hurdles is, will players accept, because they got to accept this, being away from their families 3-4 months isolated? Is it possible to pull off the logistics? You do baseball in a hub, right? Same kind of thing. You do cactus versus grapefruit. Same kind of thing. You do the geographical silos options where, like you talked about, there's a Midwest division, West Coast, East Coast, and everything like that. What are the problems with that? And you just keep coming back and back and back. And the biggest hurdle of them all, the biggest hurdle that they all share, is testing. Is there going to be enough testing? Will there be enough testing so that they can pull this off? And Mozeliak made an interesting point that it's got to be also rather early testing, like an early identification, because because you can't have an entire team in quarantine. You have to have individuals in quarantine. You have to track their progress. You have to know where they go, but you got to have social distancing in some fashion so that you can isolate and control, because as he said, you can't put a whole team in quarantine because how do they play? You know, and then the whole league shuts down again.
Yeah, and it's funny because when we have this conversation, we can, at least from my standpoint, I don't know if you agree, I can be simultaneously like wildly optimistic about baseball and also like frighteningly pessimistic about what could happen if anybody gets coronavirus, etc. And from a pessimistic standpoint, I just keep coming back to in my head, like, what's the minimum amount of players that have to get coronavirus for them to shut down baseball again? Once they start it up. And that's the thing, is like, is it 4 Cubs? Is it 6 Tigers? I mean, what's the minimum where they're like, wow, that's unfair. It's unfair baseball because they don't have a certain amount of players. They're not their real team. Yeah.
Yeah. That's an interesting aspect of it. I mean, I'm not, I don't know. I don't know what the right answer is, but you can't quarantine a whole team and all of a sudden it's forfeiting games for coronavirus.
Right.
Got ill. I don't know. You can't have them play because then, you know, what about the other team on the field? And it's just interesting. I mean, you keep up with the other sports. That's, you know, sort of by definition, your job. What are some of the other things? You know, you got the hub plan in the NHL that's being kicked around, the Disney plan in the NBA. What do you see other leagues kind of groping for answers just like baseball?
No question. Yeah, because, I mean, on one hand, the idea of just like everybody in the same controlled environment, you can make the argument that, okay, if we're in complete control of everyone who comes in and out, or hopefully no one's coming in, of this area, whether it's the NBA at a Disney World resort or in Vegas or hockey at these four different locations, the idea is about control. So that's fascinating. It sounds like it could work, but like all it takes is like one, you know, this is going to sound weird, but like all it takes is like one idiot athlete. And I guess what I'm thinking of is like, it is not apples to apples, but over in England, there was a professional soccer player who recorded a video for his fans on Instagram, like stay safe, social distancing, don't be in touch with anybody. And then like the next day he got busted for having a escort come to his house, and he got in big trouble for that. My point is, like, even if the people sound, they sound noble and they sound like they're gonna do their best, you know, there's gotta be one jerk out there that's gonna ruin it for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, which brings us back to testing. You know, if somebody goes out of isolation and then returns, then there's got to be a test, or there's got to be a vaccine for it to come back. And, you know, that's
right.
That's the thing is, like, you know, are you not looking at, I mean, it's entirely possible that you're not looking at that spring training next year is not with crowds. That's not an unrealistic possibility. You know, we could be going off to spring training next February, 2021, and looking at 2.5 months in Florida, you know, where part of it is spring, part of it is the start to a season. And little, if any of it, is in front of actual full-size crowds.
Heck, the St. Louis Cardinals might just turn into the Jupiter Cardinals for a long time. I mean, if they decide, you know. And the other thought, just to throw this out, kind of tying back to we don't have to get into it too much, but just a thought is, like, is it possible that Yadier Molina has played his last game at Busch Stadium as a Cardinal?
That's as a Cardinal? See that? Yeah, you kind of hit me toward the end of what I wanted to ask. I mean, you think about the class of 2020, right? The high school class of 2020, no proms, no graduation. You and I both know students at Mizzou. They're not having the traditional graduation, not the same experience that you or I had, either in high school graduation or in college graduation. And, you know, I can remember those days rather vividly, and they weren't over Zoom. Zoom didn't exist. Heck, thank goodness, like, phones didn't exist like they do now. I mean, phones existed, but not iPhones and stuff. So, you know, so all the photos of that time have been lost to the ages. I don't even know if anybody has like a video of our J school graduation. Some photos, but anyway. You think of how important those are. And, well, same kind of thing, right, for the closure of a career, right? Adam Wainwright, if he doesn't return, did he throw his last pitch at Busch Stadium? You know, did he throw his last pitch in front of a crowd at Busch Stadium? You know, what happens when a player retires and there's no ovation for him? What happens? What is that going to look like if in September they're playing, you know, the Chicago White Sox in, you know, for a chance to be one of the playoff representatives from the Midwest division, and Wainwright goes out there and throws 7-4 hits, one run, and it's his, you know, it's his basic encore, last appearance at Busch Stadium, and the family's not there to see it. His family's not there to see it. There's not a crowd there to see it. I mean, it's going to be a haunting image.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no question. I mean, I saw a headline. I think it was Steve Politi, a columnist out what paper is he at? Derek, is he at the New York Star Ledger?
He's out.
Yeah, and the headline was like, "I attended a funeral for a coronavirus patient that his family couldn't attend. Here's what happened." Like the idea, like I didn't click on it because I didn't want to deal with the emotions, but just the idea of like he was there as a reporter, was able to tell the story. So then he got to interview the family later on about what he saw. I mean, that's obviously the grimmest of grim, but just like, yeah, I mean, history, the way it's, we've always seen it play out will not play out that way. I guess we could also say like, all right, maybe it'll just happen and we won't even think about it too much. Like, in some of these strike years in sports, like surely somebody in the NHL played his last game, thought he was coming back for that next season, and then there was a strike and they didn't have the entire season, and then he retired. I don't know who that guy is, but surely that happened. But I mean, these storylines, that's what I'm getting at. It's like someone like you and me, who part of our job is just like to capture stories and put them in perspective in both current times and history and all that, like all these stories we cherish and want to tell are just going to be different than they've been in the past.
Oh, absolutely. And for a while, how different are teams going to be, Benjamin? And how patient do you think fans will be if teams come back next year and say, look, you know, we're not the billion-dollar industry we once were. We are going to have to trim costs. You have some teams, Tampa Bay reportedly, they're going to have furloughs starting. Other teams are expected to do that. The Cardinals have promised to pay their employees through May, the end of May. But when that comes, anything is up for grabs again. You and I both work for a newspaper that has had to have some belt tightening moves, and you and I have both experienced that or will. And again, there's no guarantee what July looks like for us, for you and me personally.
Yeah.
You know, so how patient are fans going to be if, like, look, you'd look at some teams, maybe the Cardinals included, who significantly scale back their payrolls as a result of this?
I mean, that's the thing about sports, is a lot of sports is the fans or media pointing fingers or holding the team accountable for actions. And, you know, that's a big part of like just sports culture in general. Like, I can't believe we didn't trade for this guy, or I can't believe we didn't sign this free agent, or this or that. And all of that emotion and all of that sentiment is going to be warped because of these new financial restraints. And it's like, can you, me and Ben Fred and Jeff Gordon be like mad at the Cardinals for not going after a key player in free agency that would help the team, when the Cardinals are like, look, we cannot afford that dude. Like, who knows what would happen if we did try to pay him that amount of money or sign him for that amount of money.
The whole curve of sports though has been greater, 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 spending more, more, more. And even with baseball sustaining a few like chilly free agent periods, we still saw Garrett Cole set records, Bryce Harper set records, Manny Machado set records, Nolan Arenado, a name near and dear to Cardinal fans' hearts, whose mere mention on this podcast will cause a Twitter storm. But, you know, that extension was massive. We just saw more, 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 higher, higher, higher when it came to salaries, and thus when it came to payrolls. You know, if there are teams that go into austerity and cut their payrolls in half, I mean, how acceptable are, I mean, you know, like you kind of talked about, is people are hungry for competition, people are hungry for baseball, and rightfully so. But how readily are fans going to return if, say, you know, some teams like the Marlins or the Rays, or maybe even teams like the Cubs, have to scale back just like they were a household?
Yeah. I mean, the Marlins, I don't know if you saw this, but during this podcast, the Marlins announced that in 2021, they're only going to play with 8 players.
I did not see that, but that will the pitcher bat 8th then?
Yes, I think that's what it's going to be. I think
trick question. There won't be a pitcher batting. It'll be the DH.
Ah, because no more natural rule. Yeah, yeah, gets a whole nother thing. But one thing, and I'll just bring it up since we're getting nuts. Or how does the line go, Derek? Want to get nuts? Let's get nuts.
You want to get nuts? Let's get nuts.
There you go. I wrote
one of
about
the great
this
Michael thing. Keaton lines. Let's be honest.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
The rest are from Mr. Mom
and Birdman. This is going to be. I wrote about this in a blog for STL Today. This notion. What you were just talking about is like the idea of like competition, winning, hunger, who's going to spend the most money, who's going to put out the best product, who's going to be the champion. And I wonder if the sports fans' mindset will be skewed or changed in the coming years. And if it's more of just the idea of like, this is entertainment, like going to see a movie or going to see a concert. Or going to dinner, yeah. The whole idea, of course, is like in baseball, though. It's like you play because two teams are going to give it their hardest, play their hardest, and one team's going to win. But I think back to this thing that this guy, Neil Walk, once said. He was an old eccentric NBA player from the 70s. And, you know, he was a big fan of, what would you call it, horticulture, perhaps? Mm-hmm. Is that the right word? things of that nature, leaves and such. Gardening, but he said something, Derek, about like, he's like,
green thumb.
He's like, you know, why do we have to keep score in basketball? Why can't we just play and just like enjoy the beauty of the sport? And you know, of course, he sounded ridiculous. It's like, what are you talking about? We play four quarters, we play a game, one team wins, one team loses, and you have statistics, and that determines who's better and such. But his point was like, you know, I mean, it's just a beautiful game and people are entertained by it. Why can't we just look at it like that and just go out there and have some fun? And obviously, I'm admitting that that sounds quirky and ridiculous, but I'm also giving credence to at least where he's coming from of like, after we go through this hell of the coronavirus, there's something to be said about just being entertained by beauty of sports.
So I've asked other people on this podcast, and since you brought it up, I'd like to get your opinion on it too. Where's that line for you though? Like, you know, if football returns and it's the Pro Bowl every weekend, no one's going to like that. If baseball returns and it's live BP because they can't have infielders turning double plays, no one's going to like that. So where's that? Well, or maybe they will. Maybe they want home run derby because like you said, entertainment is entertainment and it'd be live unscripted. But where's your line for that? Where is it not worth bringing the game back just to provide entertainment? Is that
right.
Empty stadiums? Is it, or is the line, you know, robot umpires? Or is the line no infielders? I mean, where's the line for you?
I mean, I think it just comes down to, as long as there is a result of a competition, I think fans will pay attention to it and that they've got the uniforms of their teams on and it's players that they recognize and they're playing some sort of competition. And that's why I'm going against, of course, the whole Neil Walk thing. It's like, it comes down to like, can we experience something? That's the difference between sports and a movie. Is we watch a movie because it entertains us. We watch sports because it's an experience with a result. We're going through, we're experiencing the process. Stakes. Yeah, exactly. So as long as there's stakes, a result, et cetera, a score, I think people will be tuned in, but I think some people will go to baseball knowing there's going to be stakes, but also just enjoying the fact that thank God there's Adam Wainwright throwing curveballs. I missed that.
But for you, if it's, you know, let's say the games mimic the tournament that the show was, the players played for the MLB The Show. They're three innings long. You know, there's no crowds, you know, and is that enough?
Gosh, three. I mean, that's the whole thing. And baseball of all sports, right, Dick, that's compared to the past and it's, you know, history is so important and everything's like, all right, he did this in this season, but what did some guy do in a previous season? And now we've got this whole new warped world. That's our new baseball. Yeah. I mean, they'll do it and some people will tune in, but the question
like
is like
snack size baseball.
Yeah. I mean, again, like Well, I guess what is the specific question? Would I watch? Sure. Would
I? Yeah. Where is that line for you? I mean, if they say, okay, well, we can't really do much of the game, but we can line these lineups up and have home run derby, and you know, anything that hits grass on the fly is an out. Any ground ball, you know, like it becomes like skills competition a little bit.
I mean, right.
You know, but you know, at what point in time does the game feel too silly or forced?
Well, any of, I mean, if you're on one hand, that could be, it's better than nothing. And, but like, if
that's
we're,
what I guess I'm asking.
I think we're all, yeah. I mean,
what's worse than nothing.
We can't, right. Yeah. I guess it's just agreeing or saying like, this is not like we all have to be on the same page. Like, we are agreeing that this three inning exhibition that involves no physical contact and like all the stuff you said is just for entertainment. Then if we've all agreed on that, then that's fine. But I think people will tune in for anything, as we're seeing right now with sports content.
Yeah.
You know, when people watch the NBA horse competition on ESPN, you know, and the people will watch it first, but really it's just filling, getting through each day. It's just filling the screen, you know, filling our lives until we can finally, hopefully, get actual nine inning baseball back. But what year will that be?
Cover modified baseball?
Yeah, man. I mean, I like writing about, I don't know. Sure, I'll cover it. Do I want to? I mean, I want to cover, we all want to do the same thing. We want to cover the St. Louis Cardinals competing for the division championship against the Chicago Cubs and the up and coming Reds and the Brewers and the storylines that make our job our job. We want to see them through.
Interesting.
Well, we can't, at least for a while. So we might as well just get excited about whatever involves a Rawlings.
There is something interesting about seeing baseball through the looking glass for me. Like, what does, but as long as it's baseball, you know, like, you know, it's seven inning doubleheaders, fine. I get that. That's a necessity. You know, the DH widespread, that is fine. That makes sense. You know, the twist to the divisions is compelling. You know, seeing the Cubs and White Sox in the same division, the Yankees and the Mets in the same division,
the
Cardinals and Royals in the same division, the Cardinals and Sox, Cardinals and Twins. You know, there's something compelling about that, because it takes the baseball we know and gives it a knowing wink that baseball's just different this year. But it doesn't strip it free of the underpinnings that make it baseball. It just shifts the lens on the competition. It turns, you know, a visit to Dodger Stadium into a visit to Cleveland, right? I'm kind of intrigued by, right? You can get 108 games that way. You know, you have 10 team divisions, two trips into each city. You know, you got, you know, that would be what, you'd have 12 games against each opponent. So Sox would come in twice, but you could go to Chicago, right? And knock out a series against the Sox, a series against the Cubs, and then take a bus to get a series against the Brewers.
Yeah.
You know, someone goes to
Missouri.
Oh, all
that sounds enticing.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And so I think baseball through the looking glass has an appeal, but I do think there's a limit to how much baseball should stretch and reach and force itself, you know, because eventually it doesn't become baseball anymore. It becomes spectacle. And that's what you're talking about, is people are turning now for spectacle because they don't have sports. But if baseball is going to return and players are going to agree to return, you know, we know the motivation. The motivation is there's so much money at stake. But the understanding has to be that it's got to be sport, not spectacle, because otherwise, why do it?
Right. No, and why risk an injury? Why even leave your families? Why?
Right.
You know, 100 reasons why. And that's why we would watch if they did a three inning, whatever. But of course, we like I said, we yearn for the results, the stakes, the game that we know. But yeah, I mean, clearly, it'll be baseball, but it'll look the sport will look the same, but it'll never, it won't be the same.
which brings us back to Molina and his comments and the fact that, you know, there's a third of a season, a third of the home season already basically postponed slash canceled. They're not allowed to say the canceled word
right.
because of obviously the fine print on the tickets and everything like that, but the Cardinals are returning it. You know, whatever baseball returns is going to be different, truncated season, shortened season, maybe neutral site games, maybe baseball and Thanksgiving, all those things are in play. How long will the fallout be from this? I mean, it is possible that there are things that are forever changed. In fact, I would imagine that it's certain that things are going to forever change. And if Molina comes back as a New York Met or a Chicago Cub or a Milwaukee Brewer, then he'll have finished his career with another team. And we'll all probably point to the fact that it was when baseball stopped in 2020. I mean, things are going to be forever different. And I've argued on this podcast that we probably saw the end of NL baseball.
Yeah.
Right there on March 12th when the Cardinals played their last game. So, you know, I think we need to brace ourselves for that. But most of all, I just wonder if anyone has an appetite for the finances of the game to change. And
right now
we have our answer from the owners and from the players that they don't want that to happen. And they're willing to do whatever it takes within reason to play. Mm-hmm. Whether that means being a spectacle or a sport or relocating, we'll see. But they want to play. They want to force it to play because of the money that's at stake. And yet there's part of me that thinks that, man, even the players and the owners and certainly the fans might have to stomach a way different financial, you know, situation than we've seen in years for baseball.
Oh yeah. No, everything you said makes a lot of sense. And we talk about the trajectory of history, like everything in baseball is about taking steps. You get drafted, you go through the minors, you become a rookie, you become an all-star, and this process. Well, I mean, history has been turned upside down now with what we're looking at with the minor leaguers. And obviously, like Mozeliak said in your piece today, Derek, like every team's in the same boat, every team's going through it. But like, I mean, you look at the Dylan Carlsons of the world, the Libertors, and all these hot young prospects, the stars of the future. I mean, who was going to be a star in 2022 from above, like the baseball gods looked down on March 10th, 2019 and said, oh, in 2023, Nolan Gorman will be the National League Triple Crown winner. And now, because of this, will Nolan Gorman even make the majors? What is changing his trajectory because of all these uncertainties?
What do you think happens with Molina?
I don't see him agreeing to play baseball for any other. I think he stays with the Cardinals because for as long as he has the opportunity to sign and re-sign with them, because it just comes down to what's the point of playing for another team if you're not going to bat 500 times and catch every inning, because he's not going to be able to do that for a contending team, I don't think. So it basically is going to come down to like, all right, Yadier, here are your choices. You can be a part-time catcher for the Cardinals or some other contending teams, or maybe the Marlins will let you play, be their starting catcher for the whole year, but you're not going to be on a winning team. Which would you take? And he's like, well, okay, I'm going to go with the Cardinals as opposed to the Mets or whatever it be. That's where I'm coming from.
No, that makes a lot of sense. You've been doing a series on stltoday.com on things you miss. And there are a handful of things that, I'll be candid that I'm disappointed that going to miss in 2020. Mm-hmm. Series I haven't hit. I was really looking forward to that. That meant a lot. There was just a real convergence of my interests there that I thought was special. So much probably that our editors joked that I would not return from that series. The Jackie Robinson day at Dodger Stadium that the Cardinals were scheduled to participate in. I wanted to see that, an all-star game at Dodger Stadium. I adore Dodger Stadium. It's one of you do too. You and I have very similar feelings about Dodger Stadium and what a palace it is to both history and to the area. It's a ballpark that captures its city well and has aged well. And then you go on and on. You can think about, like, okay, what are some of the things that, you know, just are gonna miss? And you touched on some there for the minor leaguers. You've written about some. Is there one thing that you're missing that you worry won't come back?
Oh, that's a good question. Like, I guess it would come down to the idea of, like, competition for a championship. And, oh, no, that's going to come back, though. That was your question. So your question is, one thing that I love about baseball that might not be in baseball in the future?
Yeah, or any sport. Something that you miss, something that you've thought about, maybe even something that you've written about in your series, but that you worry won't come back.
Oh, that's a good question. I also don't know if I have an immediate answer. I'm trying to think through. I don't know. I guess I'm just under the mindset that, like, that maybe this is a phase, a couple year phase, but ultimately things will be similar. I don't know, Derek. To be honest, I don't have an answer.
No, do you have an answer? Right. Yeah. I worry that the late bloomers aren't coming back.
Oh.
Or that it could be a while before you'll see late bloomers. I think that minor league baseball is going to be irreparably upset and convulsed by this. There'll be retraction. There'll be teams that, you know, go out of business. Independent baseball will feel bruises from this for sure. Again, same kind of thing. Teams will go out of business. I think there will be fewer innings in minor league baseball, fewer innings in unaffiliated baseball for the comeback stories.
And yeah, Jose Martinez wouldn't be in the next Jose Martinez won't happen.
Yeah. Or John Brebbia.
Yeah.
You know, John Brebbia had to go through independent ball and work his way back up. And, you know, the guys who learn a new pitch, who get new health, who figure out their swing, who, have that great nexus where athletic ability merges with game understanding in their late 20s and zooms to the majors as a result, and might only have a 4-year career, might have a 4.5-year career, but are a great story to tell and then have great success. You know, you think about how many times Pat Neshek reinvented himself, right?
Yeah.
You think about some of these young guys like a Ryan Ludwig who reinvented himself. Got over injury, got to play through his way back from injury, and then he's an all-star at Yankee Stadium in the final year of Yankee Stadium. You think of stories like that. I worry that if there's limited playing field, if there's limited at-bats, if there are limited minor leagues, that teams no longer have to be patient. And that impatience brought on by the sheer lack of availability will lead to fewer late bloomers.
Yeah, that's fewer, well said. Fewer, that's a good take on that.
Yeah, I mean, and that worries me because those are some of the best stories in baseball. You think about they made a movie out of The Rookie.
Right.
Does that happen?
Right.
Can teams afford to let that happen? That's the other part of this. So it's not just a lost year of minor league development for the great talents. It's going to be lost teams and a lost year for the players who were just on the fringes, some of whom have to make decisions now to walk away from the game because their family needs them to do something else.
I threw out the word what if earlier. I mean, there's so many what ifs, and we do this a lot in sports when we look back at, like, what if Tommy John surgery existed before it existed? How many careers would have been changed and how many different people would be in the Hall of Fame and different ball players we would have heard of that we don't know about right now because they fizzled out in Double A or what have you. The what ifs, for sure, there's going to be plenty of them, you know, when the Derek and Benjamins are on podcast, you know, 80 years from now, looking back at 2020, they'll be doing some what ifs about how the trajectory of the game could have been different if coronavirus never happened.
Yeah. Well, I hope they include in their podcast an appreciation for the late bloomers.
Yes. Yes. I like that.
Well, thanks, Benjamin. Thanks for doing this. Thanks for joining me. Thanks for talking through your Yadier Molina column. You can find all of Benjamin Hockman's work, including his series on what he misses and other things there. You got anything else coming up you want to plug?
Well, actually, I'm working on a piece, and I know some of our other colleagues have written about this at the Post-Dispatch, but I kind of wanted to throw my two cents out there about Keith Hernandez. Let's get him in the fans, put him in the St. Louis Cardinals Hall of Fame. I guess the modern fan doesn't really, when I say modern, I say the 40-year-old fan might not know about Keith Hernandez in 1978, 1979, but they know about Tommy Herr in 1987, and they get excited about, let's get Tommy Herr a red jacket. Good God, I think Keith Hernandez is like triple the war of Tommy Herr, something like that, as a Cardinal. So I'm working on a piece on that, just kind of to share my sentiments. And part of it, of course, is the fans who were turned off by the way it ended with Keith Hernandez, and they kind of hold that grudge. So I'm going to try to talk to Whitey Herzog and get his take on that, because if Whitey's okay with Keith Hernandez getting in the Cardinal Hall of Fame, I guess the fans should be too.
Yeah. Yeah. The Hall of Fame is a whole other interesting thing, not just the Cardinals one, but the national one. The National Baseball Hall of Fame has kicked back the inductions of Derek Jeter, Ted Simmons, and Larry Walker and Marvin Miller to 2021. And that brings up the possibility that the induction of Ted Simmons, Derek Jeter, Larry Walker, and Marvin Miller, of all people, will coincide with the induction of Curt Schilling, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens. They're all in the ninth year of their time on the ballot. They're all in the penultimate year. So how will that shape voting? How will that shape the ceremony? How will the juxtaposition of those players play out? I think it could be fascinating.
No question about that.
Well, Benjamin, I want to tell people one last time about our sponsor. Get organized with Closet by Design of St. Louis. Update your closet, garage, office, pantry, and more. Call 1-800-BY-DESIGN. That's Closet by Design of St. Louis. 1-800-BYDESIGN. Closet by Design of St. Louis, the official sponsor of the best podcast in baseball. You can find the best podcast in baseball, along with a whole host of podcasts, including a Blues podcast and Dave Matters Mizzou podcast, at stltoday.com. That's also where you'll find all of Benjamin Hockman's columns, including one on Keith Hernandez's Cardinals Hall of Fame candidacy and how it's time for the fans to sweep him into the red coat group and be available for an opening day ceremony that we know will return. The opening day ceremony will return. That will be something that happens at some point in time. Missed it this year, but it will return at some point in time. You can also find our constant Cardinals coverage, ongoing coverage. It's been 50 days, if you can imagine that, since the Cardinals last played a game, Benjamin. 50 days. And still, the other morning, there were four brand new stories in the paper from the Cardinals. Rick Hummel has a story on Willie McGee coming. There's his Where Are They Now series. I may have some tricks up my sleeve yet. Beyond just getting a new microphone, I may actually still do my job as a reporter. You can find all that at stltoday.com and in the pages of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. If you don't subscribe to the paper, please subscribe to the paper. You can find the best podcast in baseball wherever you get your podcast, including iTunes, where you can listen to individual episodes, download individual episodes, or subscribe to the podcast. If you subscribe to the podcast, that makes the sponsorships possible, and it's sponsorships that makes weeks like this, where there are two episodes, possible. Please rate and review the podcast. I look forward to all the glowing reviews of the new microphone and the audio that's in place. So I cannot wait to log on and read those. As always, thank you guys for being the BPIB community. I have started reaching out to the winners and putting books in the mail for the people who shared photos with us in January of where they listen to the best podcast in baseball. Those were delayed a little bit because it took me a little bit to actually get the books, but those will go out. And I guess that will be a book you can read you know, in the bathroom. Pretty good bathroom read, right?
Definitely. Definitely. Great read. So,
great bathroom lead. That's my. I'm going to use great bathroom read. I'm going to use that as my blurb. Is that okay, Hawkman?
Yeah, that works.
All right.
Or,
thank you,
or great bathroom listen, the podcast.
Oh, great bathroom. Ugh, ugh. Don't, no. Wow, no pictures, please.
No pictures, please.
For Benjamin Hawkman, St. Louis Post-Dispatch sports columnist, I'm St. Louis Post-Dispatch baseball writer Derek Gould. This has been the best podcast in baseball, brought to you by Closet by Design of St. Louis. Talk to you soon.
Can you hear me, Derek?
Are you back?
That was weird. Sorry about that if that was from my end.
I'll tell you why it stopped recording. My wife had a Zoom meeting.
Oh.
So at 11 o'clock, Ian's on the PlayStation, Erica's on the Zoom, and snap goes the internet.
Oh, okay.
So it kind of Thanos'd me. It snapped its fingers and half of the internet went out. So downstairs had priority. So I'm going to stop recording this now.
Okay. Yeah.